It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Jim Stevens, and this is the Sandler Training Hour. Each week we bring you Sandler trainers from worldwide, talk to us a little bit about how we can become better communicators, better employers and employees, and really enhance the quality of our own personal life. I have as my guest today, Annalee Thompson. Annalee hails from Great Britain. She is the managing director of the Sandler franchise in Chippington Norton. Welcome, Annalee.
Hello, Jim. I'm very pleased to be here.
Tell the listeners a little bit about your business. Give us kind of the background of how you got involved in Sandler.
I have now been involved in Sandler for, this will be the start of my 10th year in December. I really started it because I wasn't sure what else to do. My father had started the franchise 3 years previously, and I thought, you know, he is not the brightest button, so if he's doing this, I can probably help him out with it and joined him in the business. But because he was my father, I knew I didn't want to just start and feel like I'd been given a job. So I worked from the bottom up. I worked in every single role in this organization, from business, admin, and marketing. And now I am the managing director, and I'm mainly responsible for our new business sales, account growth, and the training of our clients. And often I make the coffee as well.
I've known Annalee for a long time, and she's the kind of child, speaking from a parent's perspective, that would give you permission to live in your own home. So I feel more empathy for your dad, I'm sorry, than I do for you.
Well, luckily he's not listening right now, so we'll pretend you didn't say that.
All right. So Annalee is very significant in the Sandler world, and she's going to share with us some strategies about how to defeat procrastination.
Now, the reason I want to talk a bit about procrastination is because it's something I kept hearing my clients say to me. They go, oh, you know, I love doing the cookbook, but I can't do it because I started off doing this and I just procrastinated so it didn't happen. Or I didn't do my pre-called plan because I got distracted. And really they mean I was procrastinating.
Right.
As in all things Sandler, when we look at why we procrastinate, we can draw it out as a triangle. So for those of us listening, if you drew a triangle on a piece of paper and at the top point, if you wrote no goals, you look at the triangle then on the left-hand side, you wrote no plan. And then on the right-hand side, you wrote no discipline. We would now have the three reasons why we procrastinate. We don't all have all three of them at the same time. What normally happens is we're just missing one or two of them, which is why we allow ourselves to get into this cycle of procrastination. Because once we start, it's very hard to realize we're doing it and then stop.
So the three points of the triangle, one more time?
Are no goals at the top. No plan on the left, and no discipline on the right.
So what's the difference between a goal and a plan? Those sound awfully similar.
They do, don't they? If I was going to quote my good friend Hamish Knox over there in Calgary, another Sandler trainer, his definition is our goals, those are our mountaintops. Where are we going? What's the real big picture, the real thing that excites us? But then the plan is the day-to-day thing we've got to do to get there. It's the exercise program we have to carry out to make sure we do it.
The goals is the big picture. That's long-term, long-range. The plan are the intermediate steps that are going to help us achieve that final goal. How far down do you break out your plan? Is this annually, quarterly? Talk to us a little bit about how you measure it.
So ideally, I would want people to, although they can have this big picture goal far out, I'd want them to first of all break that goal down into something they can measure. What I work with my clients on is if they're new an activity or they're trying to stop procrastinating now and build this habit, I would say let's put that goal there for 90 days out up to 6 months. No longer, because then it's slightly too big for them to start, which means the plan we can start to break down from monthly into a weekly and ideally a daily behavior.
When you're thinking of doing some goal setting, give us some tips and strategies on the best way to establish a goal long term.
whether it's business or whether it's personal, when we're establishing those goals long term, we need to think, does it really excite me? What is it I'm going to do? What is it I want to do? And I'm always a big fan of having that question, you know, what if? Because I think too much we do our goals around boundaries that limit ourselves. So we go, well, I won't suggest this goal of moving to this sort of house because people like me never do that. So we limit ourselves. So instead I'll say, well, what if I could? Would I want that? Because the first thing is coming up with what excites us and we can really get passionate about. But then the second part of it in goal setting is to test, am I really committed to doing this? Is it just a nice to have that, you know, yes, we'd all like a luxury yacht in the Caribbean.
Right.
But when I work out what I need to do to get it, actually, I'm not that fussed.
So one of the key ingredients is commitment. How do you measure your commitment, or how do you fortify commitment?
When I've got a goal, I visualize myself, you know, achieving it. I've hit it. I've got whatever it is I set out. I just shut my eyes and think about that. And then I also think, how would I feel if I didn't reach it, if I didn't hit that goal I've decided on? And then I see, how do I feel about that? Because I find if I'm committed, I feel really not okay. I'm cross with myself, I'm angry, I'm annoyed. But if I'm not committed, I very much think, oh, well, I say things like, oh, well, there's always next year. Or, well, I know I said I wanted that, but I've done okay. And that just tells me either the commitment's wrong, not there, or I've got the wrong goal.
So you're telling us that goal has to be aligned with your passion, because if you're not passionate about it, you won't have the sustained energy to pursue to success.
Absolutely, which is why I'm a massive fan of looking at both personal and business goals together, because say you've got a target for the amount of new business you're trying to get, you might not be passionate about just driving forward, helping new clients, but you might be passionate about what helping those new clients means for yourself and your family and the other people you can help with it.
So what you're really talking about is, what is your currency of motivation? If I'm motivated, because I talk to a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, who are not motivated by money, but if they can see that money becomes the measurement, the currency, if you will, that measures their passion about fill in the blank, then they can use the achievement, financial achievement, as the scorecard. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think you've put it really nicely there. It's about, if money isn't what motivates them, because very few people are purely money motivated, what is it that's going to drive them to do the stuff? What can they do once they have that money? What does it mean to them? So that becomes their, like you say, their motivation currency, and they can spend it and choose to use it when they want to.
If we've got our plan secured, we are able to envision it, it's in writing. Talk to us about how do I take it to that next level of drilling down to the plan?
Yes, so if we have our goals in writing, then we need to go, okay, if this is my goal, if this is my mountaintop, we might then need to break down our goal into what are the milestones within it. Let's say it was a new business goal of getting 5 new clients. We might need to work on, so what do I need to do to get that first new client then? And now we can start to do a plan of what are all the different components I need to make that happen. So on the new business one, I'd now be looking at what are my different prospecting activities I would need to do to get a pipeline together. And when I look at my pipeline, how many do I need to have in my funnel before that, based on my past conversion ratios? So a little bit of maths is going to come into my plan, so I can believe it's going to help me get to where I want to. Because I think too often people don't put any numbers in, and they sort of guess, and then they go, oh, well, that didn't work, wrong plan, and now it's the plan's fault rather than their fault for not doing what they should have done.
And I'm guessing there's some element of tweaking the plan till you get to the right formula for success.
Oh, without a doubt. However, I do tend to advise people not to tweak it too much. I'm a big fan of those small changes when needed, but I also say, first of all, with your plan, get it down and then get it right afterwards. If you're just getting something started and you're doing it, you can then tweak it, say, every 3 weeks. Oh. don't try and tweak it every day, because now you'll spend the whole time planning your plan and you won't actually do anything.
So give your contact information, Annalee, in case there's somebody who's listening to the program and they'd like to reach out to you.
Sure thing. So best way to get hold of me is by email. It's Annalee, which, you know, is a awkward Scandinavian name, which is A-N-N-E-L-I @sandler.com. I'd love to hear from you all.
And my name is Jim Stevens. This is the Sandler Training Hour. We're available on the web at crossroads.sandler.com, or you can reach me by phone at area code 208-429-9275. We're going to be back with the second installment of Annalee talking about the procrastination triangle just after this break.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
What I have received already is a feeling of freeing myself up to live life a little stronger, a little better, a little happier. And I got that from the first meeting.
It really changed the way we do business. Number one, it raised the bar. The status quo of the normal sales process really couldn't fly, and it brought the inefficiencies to the surface. It really is an all-in. If you don't have pain, budget, decision, you're going to miss something.
Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
The beautiful thing about Sandler is that it really gets to the heart of communication between a person who has a product or service and the potential client. Sandler opens up the lines of communication, helps both parties win through the relationship.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Behind the Business. In this segment of our program, we get to meet the people and hear the story behind local businesses. My guest today is Meg Carlson. Meg was the owner and partner in Carlson Hall. They did business brokering. Tell the story about how your new company came to be.
My partner, Corey Hall, and I and CNH were investors in the first angel fund from the Boise Angel Alliance. And the woman who came up with the idea for Mel was looking to raise money and approach the angel fund. And I met her through that process. I actually started as a consultant and advisor and investor and board member.
So taking a business from non-existent to a nationwide launch and success within, what, 3 to 4 or 5 years has to be a monumental undertaking. How do you get a product to market when you've got a limited financial resources to draw on?
So first and foremost, your brand positioning in consumer products has to be distinctly different from all the other products that are out there. Your go-to-market strategy needs to understand, how are consumers going to think about your brand? Where do they expect to find it, and how are you going to make them aware of it? And when you're a small brand, then you look to do a few things extraordinarily well. The two things we would look to do extraordinarily well, the product would be a 12 out of 10 in terms of taste and quality and eating experience and satisfaction. And second, that we would build a one-to-one affinity relationship with moms and dads who are buying the product, being fully transparent and making ourselves available. So the opposite of mass advertising and promotion. Very much personal. So a lot of digital, a lot of Facebook, Google, a lot of building relationships and encouraging them to talk to us. So it's a two-way communication.
And you call that a one-to-one affinity?
It's building an affinity. So building a relationship with consumers as they discover your brand.
That has resulted in, I would guess, a grassroots.
That would be correct.
Give us kind of the first one, two, or three steps that a business would take to create a launch.
You do some market research and you get confirmation from your target consumers that your product is a home run. And then you start to build strategic partnerships with those who bring expertise. Early on, we knew that we were going to need to work with brokers in the food industry, not a direct sales force. So it was important to build a network of folks who were like-minded and who wanted to pioneer a brand as opposed to just cash cow established brand. It's a different mindset.
So it's really about having a strategic plan before you even start that helps you understand how are you going to take this product to market and who are the partners that you need to be. So give your contact information, Meg, in case somebody out there would like to reach out to you.
So meg@meltorganic.com.
And if you have not tried...
Rich and Creamy Melt is the original or flagship product. We also have honey. We have melt butter in stick form, and we have probiotic melt. And you can find them here locally in Albertsons, at the Boise Co-op, at Natural Grocers, at Huckleberry's in Meridian.
So rush out there, buy some product. You're supporting a local entrepreneur and a local business that is
making a national impact. We're going to be back with more of Meg Carlson after this next segment of Sandler Training Hour.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. With the baby boomer generation maturing, 8 million businesses will be sold or closed in the next 10 years. 75% of those companies have business owners who want to sell their business, but only 20% of them will be successful. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.
And welcome to the Sandler Training Hour. My guest today is Annalee Thompson. Annalee is a managing director in England. She's a franchise owner and manager in Chippington, Norton. Annalee's been talking to us a little bit about procrastination, and she introduced us to the concept of the procrastination triangle. The three elements that make up procrastination are no goals, no plan, and no discipline. You may have a deficit in any one or all of those, which will corrupt your ability to take action and move forward and cause you to just idle along, being content with not quite good enough. So, Annalee, take us through the concept of setting goals.
The goals is really at the top of the triangle for a reason, because it's the one that holds it all together. Because so often you can see people set a goal, they write a great plan, and they probably stick to it for 3 weeks, and then they think, oh, this is sort of hard, I'm just going to take a rest day, or I'll do it tomorrow. And now they start to procrastinate and do task avoidance. And so often this can come down to how they've worded their goal. So when we write down our goals, we know they need to be clear. We will use different acronyms. SMART is a popular one for how we set our goals. So that they need to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and then time-bound. In Sandler, in fact, we talk about smarter goals. We add an ER on the end because we say they also need to be enjoyable and rewarding. Because let's say you've decided you want to save some money because you need to pay off some credit card debt. A poorly written goal states, I will pay off my $5,000 debt by the 5th of November. Now, this is poorly stated because, yes, it's specific, it's measurable, it's time-bound, it's all those things, but it's not enjoyable or rewarding. So when that person gets up one day and has a short-term decision to make, right, do I save this money and not buy that nice top or whatever it is they're looking at, they're going to choose the easy one, which is, it doesn't matter, it's only $20, I'll buy it now. Because it's not very motivating to just pay off debt.
Right.
However, if instead they'd written down, I will save $2,000 after I've paid off my debt and I will feel awesome about it when I book that holiday, they've really got something enjoyable and rewarding about it.
Great perspective to add.
It is. And the other key bit there is we should try and phrase our goals with I will or I am. So instead of people might go, I'd like to, or I need to, or this is an idea. If we start writing our goals down of I will instead of want and need, you will your brain into believing it's something it's looking forward to and wants to do, which kicks in when our plan is getting difficult to do.
So is it important that it is a declaration of what you will do, or is it better to state it as though you already have achieved it?
I find it depends on the size of the goal. So if it is you want to book the holiday of a lifetime to Thailand, it is more helpful to say, big goal, I will book it by this date. However, the smaller goal will be, I have saved $3,000 to do it. So then you can say it in I am. I am pleased to have saved $3,000 to book my holiday of a lifetime. So it's just a small difference in what we're doing at the moment.
So if I've got my goals set and I've got my big picture clearly articulated, it's like we're beginning with that big picture in mind, moving into the plan. It almost sounded like you then invert the formula and begin with the daily and grow out.
Absolutely. You want to think, okay, what are those baby steps that I can take that are going to get me towards my goal that I need to do every day to make sure I get there? However, we also need to remember the Sandler rule, and I believe it's one of David Sandler's most important ones, which was never manage your numbers, manage your behavior. So I want to build the plan around my behavior. So what's the stuff I'm 100% able to control? Because that way I know it will happen, rather than if I'm reliant on somebody else, now it's going to be their fault if I procrastinate, and that's never a good place to be.
So I want to build those daily plans. I probably also then want to extend it out to weekly and monthly. How do I build that cookbook?
I tend to have a piece of paper. I write down the goal at the top, and then I think, right, what over the next few months do I have to get done? And then I bring that down into, right, out of these things, what is it I can do each week and each day? So before the break, we were talking about a new business goal. So I might then go, right, each week to get my new clients, I know I'm going to need to go to a number of networking events. I'm going to have this many meetings, and I'm going to need to make this number of prospecting calls. That's my monthly one. What do I need to break down into weekly and therefore daily? And I'm also going to have a bit of a sense check. Can I do that every day? Because a cookbook shouldn't account for every single waking hour. If it is, we've put too much in it.
The things you're talking about that would not be included are answering email, phone calls. In our case, it might be training events or the things we do to deliver what we've sold.
Absolutely. I'm not going to count any of the administration or the fulfillment aspect of it. If I'm going to track stuff towards my goal, what is the proactive stuff I have to do? And I also get really interested personally in which of these ones are the ones that I'm most uncomfortable doing, because I want to really measure those because it makes me do them. Otherwise, I might sort of pretend I haven't seen them and do the other stuff that I'm more comfortable with first.
In my experience coaching, I find that people come in one of two categories. They're either those folks who are such perfectionists and so detail-oriented that they hate to commit anything to writing because they know if they fail to do it, they use the goal as a club to beat themselves. And then the other side of the coin is the people who say, yeah, you know what? What's going to happen is going to happen. Talk to us about the balance we should strike between proactive and passive.
I'm always interested in the proactive stuff first because I tend to find the passive pieces will work anyway. However, there is that line between putting too much activity in your cookbook, which ultimately will cause burnout if you have to work super hard every single day, long hours, and it's not possible to sustain it, then you've put too much in there, which is okay if you can see it just for this next 2 weeks. But if you're saying it's for a month out, you need to scale it back or be smarter with your activities. However, if it's more that laissez-faire attitude of what will be, then really all you're doing is discounting yourself. You're not respecting your own time or living your own goals. You're living by default and letting somebody else be in charge of what will happen. That's just not where I want to be, and I think it's not where most A players in life want to be either.
So what advice do you give to first the people who are a little bit so ambitious or analytical that they tend to make their goals either confusing or almost impossible to achieve?
You know, I think the advice for those is actually very similar to my advice for people on the other end of the scale who are more laid back as well. Both of them should get an accountability partner. And by an accountability partner, I mean somebody who is on a peer with you, you know, is level, whose advice and feedback you trust. This way, if you set too ambitious goals, they will challenge you and say, hey man, look, I'm really excited you want to get 37 new clients this month, but because in the last 3 months you've only got one each, why don't we look and see if we can do two, because that's 100% better than the previous months. And if you're laid back, they're going to go, hey, what's going on? You seem not to be taking control of it. Why are you sitting around waiting for something else to happen? So accountability partners can be what helps us start and continue.
Let's talk just a bit about the next step, which is discipline. Define discipline for us.
To me, discipline is freedom. If I'm disciplined in the areas where it counts, I get what I want, which is freedom to me. So everybody hates the word, but it's just how can we use it to our advantage to make sure we live the best life possible.
Discipline equals freedom. I like the thought of that. I still don't like the concept of being disciplined.
No. But people never do. But it's perhaps see discipline as, I see discipline as my friend that gets me to my goals. It's the shadow that's always with me. I can't ignore it. I may as well work with it because it gets me ultimately what I want, kind of whether I like it or not.
You just gave me my new affirmation for the week. I appreciate that, Annalie. Give your contact information in case somebody would like to shoot an email to you or reach out to you.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear it. It's Annalie, A-N-N-E-L-I, at Sandler.com.
And my name is Jim Stevens. I'm the host of the Sandler Training Hour. We're going to be back with our next segment called the Entrepreneur Radio segment, where we interview local and regional entrepreneurs. We get to hear their story and find out what's working, not working in their business development and creation. If you or anybody you know would like to be on that program, please give me a call at 208-429-9275, or you can reach me on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
The small investment that I made into Sandler Training has more than paid off tenfold on a monthly basis. I mean, I've made more in a month from the Sandler Training than I have in previous years. It's an investment in yourself.
Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. In turn, I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
I started with Sandler about 3 months ago now. Since being here, we've doubled the revenue that we've been generating. 10 times pay for itself easily already, so I'm excited for the road ahead and highly recommend this training to anyone who's looking to generate new business sales and be successful.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com. Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
I started with Sandler about 3 months ago now. Since being here, we've doubled the revenue that we've been generating. 10 times pay for itself easily already, so I'm excited for the road ahead and highly recommend this training to anyone who's looking to generate new business sales and be successful.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com. Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. In turn, I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. In this segment of our program, I introduce you to local and regional entrepreneurs. These are people who have had the courage to start their own business, and we get to hear their story, how they got into business, and in hopes that it's an inspiration for those of you who are listening who either own your own business or are thinking about it. My guest today is Tony Ferguson. Tony is the owner, founder of Idaho Select Insurance. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So tell the story. How'd you get into this business?
I started in this business in 2010. Basically, in about the year 2006, I had been at Micron for 11 years at that time. In my last 2 years at Micron, I realized I was not happy going to the corporate world and working for someone else. And so I started looking in other avenues in 2007 and started an apprenticeship as a home appraiser. And as a home appraiser, you have to have 2 years of apprenticeship before you can become a certified home appraiser. In 2008, Micron was doing layoffs. And so I ended up leaving Micron in 2008, knowing that I was going into home appraising at the time and already had plan B going. And I had 1 year left on my apprenticeship as a home appraiser. And in 2008, after I left Micron, the housing market crashed. And so it crashed, and it made me realize that I wasn't going to have a business in the home appraising industry and be successful as I'd like to, knowing that the government was getting very involved with that industry at the time.
Wow.
So the government passed a law called the HVCC law, which was the Home Value Code of Conduct law, which appraisers could no longer talk to mortgage lenders and get a direct relationship going. You had to go through management companies.
Oh, my.
And so at that time, once I realized it was becoming so government-based and regulated, I was looking for another avenue, sales and being able to network and be able to be part of a community. And I knew a friend that owned his own company down in Arizona called Arizona Premier, and it was an insurance company. And so I asked him if I could open up a branch up here in Boise just called Idaho Premier, and I would just use his appointments that he had with the carriers. He was all about it, and that would happen about June of 2010. I got licensed and started Idaho Premier. It just took off, and I was able to do the networking. I was able to be part of the community, give back to the community the way I wanted to, and stay in touch and network and grow my business the way I wanted to without government regulations and everything.
So tell us, Tony, a little bit about what does your firm do? I know you're in insurance. Mm-hmm. Expand on that.
So we do home, auto, life, and commercial insurance. So our primary focus is to make sure that people are covered, the best coverages that they can get, and also provide a price that they're willing to pay. And in Idaho, it is one of the least expensive states to be insured across the country because we don't have catastrophic events and stuff like that that you happen to have in other states. Mm. Our primary focus is to find the best rates for our clients. We work with 10 different carriers for home and auto. We work with about 7 different carriers for commercial lines. And then we work through a couple carriers that are brokers for life insurance. So when someone comes in and they need insurance, we feel very confident that we will find a good product at a good price for them.
It seems unusual to me, and maybe I just don't know your industry, but for one firm to handle both residential, commercial, casualty, life, is that common?
Yeah, it is common. The reason we want to handle all that is because there's a lot of business owners or people like me that are entrepreneurs,
right,
to where you can actually handle their commercial insurance, their home, their auto. They have one agency that they need to call for any kind of questions they have about any of their insurance needs. So we want to be able to be that resource for them.
What would you say makes your firm a better decision than maybe a traditional insurance underwriter or carrier?
Basically, because we are who we are. And that's because we're confident that we're going to protect you the best way possible.
Yeah.
And we really look out for our clients, and that we want to find the coverages that you feel are necessary, and we'll find a price that's going to be fitting to what your budget allows. One thing that a lot of people do is they put excess of different coverages on policies that really don't benefit the client. So it's really knowing and getting to know the client and making sure you understand their needs to willingness to be able to tell them what coverages they don't need that's not going to benefit them, and help them understand and really educate them what their insurance is doing for them.
What would you say to somebody who's thinking about going out on their own? What kind of advice would you give in retrospect, having been through that?
Do everything that I didn't do. Basically, planning is huge. And if you are thinking about going down the entrepreneur road, definitely look into planning. Talk to people that are already in the industry that you're looking to go into. See what it means. Because, you know, I was very fortunate. And when I was at Micron, I had a 401k that I had created and put a lot of money into.
Yeah.
And so it sustained myself. Why I built my
while you were starting
yeah,
up.
Because I had no income. I mean, you have to be able to do that. And as an entrepreneur, there are going to be hidden costs that you don't realize are there. And you just, if you plan correctly and understand the hurdles that are going to come along and you plan for them correctly, you won't be sidelined like I was a couple of times right, by some expenses that came along, and it won't hurt you as bad. So planning is huge. So talk to other entrepreneurs or talk to people in the industry first and foremost would be my suggestion.
I'm guessing timing is pretty important too. How do you know when is the right time?
I think for me, I knew it was the right time when I got tired of driving to work when I was working at Micron. I knew that I needed to find that other avenue to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know at the time what it was going to be. I had no idea. But I knew that I wanted to be part of the community that I was born and raised in. And I love the Treasure Valley. It's been great to me. And I give back to the community all the time.
So in making that change, taking the plunge, what was the runway? How long did it take to get to the place where you knew you were going to make it?
It was probably about a year and a half into insurance. I started to create a good foundation of income with my book of clients that I had got built up. And so I realized that the first year, you're hitting the pavement. You're doing everything to get in front of people. So if they hear the word insurance, somehow your name is thrown in that mix.
Yeah.
For the first year, it was pretty rough. I decided that, you know, I'm going to go into insurance. I had already been short selling my home, so I wasn't making my mortgage payment.
Wow.
And because I had no income,
yeah,
so I became one of the statistics that, you know, in those years, so many people lost their jobs. I was one of those people,
lost
their job,
lost
my
home.
But I was able to live in my home for a year without making a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Pros and cons to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, without a great loss or some small gain.
Absolutely. And that for sure was, you know, luck for me. It turned out to be in the right time. And so when you say timing is huge, that was definitely a big part of it. My overhead was very small to where my
401k was plenty big enough to sustain me while I did that.
Okay. Well, give your contact information, Tony, in case somebody out there would like to reach out to you and make a contact.
We're Idaho Select Insurance. Our website is idaholectinsurance.com, and our phone number is 473-2406. You can always email me as well. My email is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at idselectins.com.
All right, great. Tony, thanks for being on the program. We're going to be back with the next installment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this. I'm Jim Stevens, available at 208-429-9275 or on the web at crossroads.sandler.com.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Sandler sales to me is like muscle memory for the brain.
How Sandler has benefited us has been a tremendous impact on their sales methodology and the practices and procedures that we follow now. Before, we were just pretty much doing everything individually on our own, and now we have very structure to what we do, and our results have been amazing.
Sandler has helped me quite a bit. When you meet with a client, says, oh yeah, we're interested, send us a quote, and you send a quote, and then next thing you know, you're in the chase mode. I used one of the Sandler approaches, very simple. So it sounds like, Sandy, you've decided not to work with us, but you're just too nice and you don't want to hurt my feelings. And if that's the case, that's okay. Immediately she said, no, we have not made a decision yet, and then explains to me why she hasn't returned my call. So the system worked.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome back to Behind the Business. We've had as our guest today Meg Carlson. Meg is the CEO of Prosperity Organic Foods, and their flagship product is Rich and Creamy Melt. It's an organic butter substitute. Is it okay to say that?
It's plant-based butter.
And you've got a couple of other products that you offer.
We do. So we have plant-based spreadable butters, which is Rich and Creamy Melt. We also do a probiotic fortified version, so you get your daily dose of probiotic on your morning toast. And we also have made the product in stick form, optimized for baking. And lastly, we have a sweeter product for those with a sweet tooth in the morning, which is honey.
So it's a honey butter.
A honey butter,
awesome.
Yes.
So Meg, let's wrap up by talking a little bit about how do you find somebody to manufacture your product when you're bootstrapped.
So most companies our size look for a co-packer and do a national search for other manufacturers who are in the business of packing private label or contract manufacturing. In the case of our company, we started that way, and our experience was less than satisfactory, and there was quite a bit of business risk. And so we were introduced by a person who's now on our board, but who is somebody I used to work with at Arida Foods way back when, to a local company and said, if we design the line and help spec the equipment, would you be willing to learn how to make our product so that we could have dedicated manufacturing right here in the state of Idaho and add some jobs and that? After about a year of working together on that goal, in the end of 2013, we were able to transition all of our manufacturing right here in Caldwell, Idaho, with our partner Zoroco Packaging. As we add new products, we add that production to that line.
So it's actually you fund the production, the equipment, that sort of thing. Their job is to produce the product according to the quantity and specifications.
Right. So we source all of the raw materials and ingredients. Those sourcing relationships are a barrier to entry. They're part of our kind of secret sauce to what we do and give us a good protection against competitive entry. They helped finance the equipment to put the production line in place, as did we. And yes, then we forecast demand. We schedule with them. We meet with them on a weekly basis on quality and other items.
And for them, you were able to help them create a new profit center.
That's correct.
So, Meg, any last advice that you would give to an entrepreneur who has a great idea? Because this started as a great idea at one point.
So I think you need to find the right expertise in the business segment that you're in, especially if you come to it with not having experience, like the founder of this company not having any food industry experience. Often those ideas come from someone who's outside of the industry. Then commercializing and translating that into success, I think you need good, smart people who can help you do that. And then I think the other thing, most important thing as an entrepreneur, is that you will always find a way to survive and to overcome any barrier that is in your way, because there are many. And at each stage of growth of the company, they are different. And I really believe that most entrepreneurs who are successful are so because they never give up.
So Meg, give your contact information and a final pitch for where people will find your product in local grocery stores.
So meg@meltorganic.com. And you can find our products in all the Albertson stores, Natural Grocers, Huckleberries, which is Rosar's right here in Meridian, the Boise Co-op, and Whole Foods.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being our guest today. We're going to be back with the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Sandler's really expensive. Share your response to that.
The small investment that I made into Sandler Training has more than paid off tenfold on a monthly basis. I mean, I've made more in a month from the Sandler Training than I have in previous years. It's an investment in yourself.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. My guest today, Annalee Thompson. Annalee hails from Great Britain. She is the managing director of the Sandler franchise in Chippington, Norton. Annalee's been talking to us about the procrastination triangle. She's helped us see that there's three components that result in procrastination, and it can be one or all of these that tends to lead to that result. One is no goals, two is no plan, and three is no discipline. At the end of the last segment, Annalee was sharing with us that discipline is really freedom, and you have to have the mindset that says, discipline is like my shadow, discipline is my friend. It's going to be with me, so I need to figure out how can I harness it so that I use discipline to get the result that I want. So those of us that are having some kind of an internal battle with discipline, help us get past that and see it as a friend.
Absolutely, and I've got two great tips that will help people with that. The first one is a change of paradigm, a change of concept, perhaps, of how you view discipline. If you can all think of something you were putting off for ages, that maybe it seemed difficult or hard, or you just didn't want to do it because it was dull or boring. So have that in mind, and then think of, once you'd done it, how did you feel? So right afterwards, how did you feel once it was complete? Normally people say, oh, relief. They say things like, well, it wasn't that bad. It was really quite easy. I don't know why I put it off. We feel quite good after we've done it. So the first thing to help us with discipline is change your mindset. Realize that by putting it off and ignoring it, you are preventing yourself from feeling good. Because each time you put it off, you think, you go, oh, I should have done that. I don't want to, though. We let ourselves get away with it. But really, we're just making ourselves feel worse because we're preventing that good feeling. Right. We go, yep, I've done it, even though I didn't want to. The second one, and this is super tactical, and I use this every week, and I notice any weeks where it doesn't quite go to plan, I notice a big change, a drop in my performance. And the tip is front load your week. So on all the stuff where you know you need to be disciplined, so in my life, that is making sure I hit my prospecting cookbook, and also I have a cookbook for my exercise outside of work. Those two, where I'd sort of rather put it off and wait and do it all on Friday or something, I will make sure Monday I do a lot of it. I mean, a decent percentage. So if my cookbook is 100 calls for the week, on Monday, I want to get 40 done if possible. Now, if I know exercise-wise I've got to do some run drills that I don't know I have to do them the week and I don't want to, I'm putting them down Monday evening, because if I front load my week like this, get all that stuff done, you know, or at least started to a decent amount, how do you think I feel waking up on Tuesday? I feel invincible, like the week, you know, the whole world is mine. I own this week because look how much I've done already. and I just have a great week. Those times where I kind of let it not happen, I sort of dawdle through Monday or I don't make it important, I seem to set that tone for the rest of the week.
I think that's really a brilliant concept, to front load your week. And then is there also a strategy about time blocking so that you know you have designated time specifically for those avoidance type activities?
Yes, without a doubt. However, if I'm with time blocking, that's where we'd book it in our calendar as an appointment so we make sure it happens. What I also have to do is I have to set an upfront contract with myself and commit that I actually will do it. Because I think too often if we time block, especially when it's something we don't want to do, we get to that, it comes up in the diary and we think,
oh, why bother?
I'll do it later.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now we encourage ourselves to not do what we said we were going to do, which we know just chips away our eyesight, our self-concept, and makes us believe that we're not worthy and we can't do it. And that's madness.
It is.
So
madness.
You can time block as long as you agree that you do it. Set that upfront contract, say, I'm doing it whether I want to or not.
And if you have a habit of time blocking and ignoring it, stop time blocking.
Yes, just have a break. Don't time block for a week. Choose another way of doing it. Write it on a post-it and put it on your computer and say you have to do that task until you can check your emails or something.
Ah, good. Set a personal trap.
Whatever it is, time blocking does work. If you're used to not doing it, then it's not going to work immediately for you.
We talk in Sandler about creating and maintaining an attitude behavior journal. One of the things Anna Lee is so disciplined in is her attitude behavior journal. She shares it with a group of us. I'm fortunate to be in that group and receive every single day Anna Lee's areas of focus. Full disclosure here, Anna Lee, whenever I'm training on cookbooking and attitude behavior journal, I pull up one of yours and share it to the public. So I hope you don't mind.
Oh, I'm flattered. No, I don't mind at all.
So take us through the components of your daily accountability journal.
I'd love to. Journaling, as an aside, before I just talk you through what it is, for me, if I had to pick one thing I do every day in my plan that helps me get to success, it's journaling. It is what makes me successful, without a doubt, and I truly believe that.
So of everything you do, journaling is the one thing that is having the biggest return on investment.
Hands down, it's not even close to a second place. It's miles ahead of anything else that makes me successful. The format I use, and there are lots of different ones out there, this is just the one that works for me, is I'll always start off with, what are the things I'm grateful for? I tend to write 10 of them, but any number's fine. What am I grateful for? And it can be anything. Good cup of coffee. There was no traffic on my drive to work. Right up to the big stuff. I managed to help another client. I have employed another person, so we've grown our team. I do my gratefuls, and then I do, what are the things I want to attract in my life? And here, we are putting it out to the world, to God to help us, to the universe to step in and do what it can. And it can be anything you want to attract. It does not need to be within your control. So I will put there things I can control, absolutely. You know, I want to book a holiday to somewhere. I want to have more champagne for National Champagne Week. But I'll also put bigger picture stuff like health for my friends and family, help for somebody else that, you know, I can't access at the moment. I'm putting everything in there that I want to attract into my life.
It's kind of our wish list for the things that we want to have happen.
Mine is very connected to my goals as well. At least half of them will be around those. But the other half, I sort of just allow myself to think about what's important right now in the greater world than just about Anna Lee Thompson. And then I put commitments. So my commitments for the day, and I have to be really careful here that I don't put a to-do list, because actually a commitment isn't a to-do list. It is, what are the 3 to 5 things I need to have happen today that will make sure I've had a great day versus what do I have to remember? If I leave the office today or I go to bed, if I've done just these 3 to 5 things, what will I have to have accomplished just to make it an awesome day? And then I'll do what I'm going to commit to personal-wise, just to make sure I stay balanced, because all work and no play makes Annalie a very dull girl. And then at the end, most importantly, I find is I end with my affirmations. So this would be the positive belief I need to hold dear, make sure I am living to hit my goals and to be the success I know I can be, versus any negative beliefs that mean I just get in my own way.
And Anna Lee has just a wonderful list of these
positive affirmations that are so impactful. I've had literally dozens of clients say, would you please send me that? So give us some of the affirmations that you find yourself declaring daily.
They might be as simple as, I easily set 4 first appointments, if that was one of my goals, up to much bigger, I am successful. I have one there. You have helped me with, Jim. I'm a I-10 and I exude my I-10-ness onto others so they can sparkle too.
Yeah.
I also have one around, I think you helped me with as well. I surrender to imperfections with myself and others. Forgiveness is a relief because
awesome.
I have a real need to get everything right and I have to believe that. I'm just setting myself up for failure and it's not going to help. I am a bright ball of energy flowing forward, lifting up all in my path.
Yeah, that's just so inspiring. And just reading through this list. And one other thing that Annalie does is this is not something she's cutting and pasting. This is rewritten every day.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. Which, by the way, when you first start out, you think, oh my gosh, I don't have time for that. And I didn't used to. But nowadays it takes me, you know, 10, 15 minutes. But if I can't spare that at the beginning of the day, then I have my priorities wrong somewhere.
And once again, Annalie said the number one thing that has made it possible for her to have the success she has is doing this daily attitude behavior journaling.
Now, don't get me wrong. I am not perfect. There are some days when I don't get it done till late in the evening rather than in the morning, or I just plain didn't have time because I didn't make it a priority. But I do notice those days, they're okay days, but they're sort of messier, or I feel like I'm in a haze and I just don't have the clarity of what needs to get done.
The last step is an evaluation step of identity and role.
I'll rate my eyesight, my identity, my self-concept out of 10, 10 being high, no 1 being low, and that's always a 10 because I'm always the best I can be as myself. I know that, so that's always a 10. But the bit that might change is my role side. That's a 1 low, 10 high again. And if I realize the day before, right, I let other things get in the way. I firefighted. I didn't do as good a job in certain areas. My role side will come lower. It might be a 7. But a lot of the time it is a 10. Actually due to journaling, because if I know the day before I journaled, I committed to those 3 to 5 things and I got them done, I have to be an R10 the next day. I've done what I set out to do on purpose.
Awesome, Annalie. You've been an outstanding guest as always. Give your contact information in case someone would like to reach out to you.
Absolutely, and I'd love to hear from them. It's Annalie@Sandler.com.
Annalie is spelled Annelie@Sandler.com. And listeners, thank you for giving part of your weekend to us. If there's any topic you'd like to hear more about, please reach out to me at jim.stevens@Sandler.com. I'm on the web at crossroads.sandler.com or can be reached by phone at area code 208-429-9275. Remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it. Have a great weekend and see you next week.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Sandler sales to me is like muscle memory for the brain. If you become an excellent free throw shooter, you don't stop practicing free throws. If you become a great golfer, you don't stop practicing your swing. It's the same thing with sales. And I come every week for about 5 years, and I leave almost every week with, dang it, I missed a step on this last sale, or that's a piece I need to improve on. So it becomes automatic, like those free throws and those golf swings.
Look at it as an investment in your team. Get past the time that you've got to put into it, and you're going to reap the benefit. And you may not see it at first. Hang with it, and it will come. And you'll start seeing those skills come out in your employees, and they'll feel better about themselves. They'll feel better professionally. They'll feel like they're learning and growing. Just the education that it brought to the forefront of my management team helped their personal feelings about their work here.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.